Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, Brandon went and saw a movie. I went and saw a different movie. And then we both played a video game. It's Apathetic Enthusiasm.
It's Apathetic Enthusiasm, brought to you by Apathetic Enthusiasm Podcast Network, part of an Apathetic Enthusiasm trademark, 2022. I'm Brandon. And with me today, I have my friend, my co-host, my BFF, my podcast BFF, only my BFF
Only podcast. We don't talk. We talk only for 1 hour every week.
That is accurate. That is accurate. That's right. It is the one, the only Travis Menard Sr. He doesn't have a junior, but give it time. Who knows?
I hear vasectomy reversals are very easy. So
very easy, very common. They're as common as the common cold. Which
painless,
simple, and easy.
Also, please carefree. Do not take any of my medical advice. Please consult your physician before having any procedures.
Use a rubber. Always. Even if you're clipped. So Travis,
By yourself. Anyway, if you want to, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was. You were at Juggle Mina over on Twitter. People can reach out to you whenever they want to talk to you there. You can find me at Barnyard Cruise over on Twitter, CRUZ. Make sure I feel like I'm not getting the amount of followers that I deserve. And I think it's because people think it's CRUISE, like Tom Cruise. And maybe they're like, no, you know what? I don't want anything having to do with Tom Cruise. He's a good actor. He's good as far as, you know, action goes, but you know what? I don't like him as a person. And because I don't like him, I don't want to follow Barnyard Cruise on Twitter, but it's okay, everybody. It's CRUZ, not CRUISE. Now that that's clear, head out to Twitter at Barnyard Cruise. He's at Juggle Mino. Juggle Mino. Juggle just how it sounds. J-U-G-G-L-E. Me, no. It's like, me? No. Like, are you doing it? Me? No. And, you know, I don't know how else you would spell Mino. Unless it's like M-I-N-O, like Dino, like the dinosaur from the Flintstones. I was about to say Frankenstein. There may have been a Dino in Frankenstein. I don't know. Actually, this reminds me. I was talking to my father-in-law the other day, and we're talking about old movies, of course. But then we're talking about the Rat Pack. And then we're talking about there was briefly the kids of some of the Rat Pack, Dean Martin's kid, Desi Arnaz's kid, and then some random kid named like Billy Mitchell or whatever. They started a band called Dino, Desi, and Billy. And they had like a hit in the 60s, and then that was it. Anyways, That is your history lesson on the Rat Pack's children, brought to you by at Barnyard Cruise from Twitter and at Jugglemino on Twitter. That is Travis and that is Brandon. Hopefully you got all that. You can also follow us at Apathusiast on Twitter. And that is APATHUSIAST. And then, of course, you can go on Facebook.com. There's an Apathetic Enthusiasm show there. And then Instagram. There's all this social media. I'm also at Barnyard Cruise on Instagram. I've noticed a distinct lack of followers there. I don't want to get into it. It may be the same reason. It may not be the same reason. But anyway, let's get on with the show. Travis, how are you doing today?
I'm great because I just discovered that at Barnyard Cruise, spelled like a weekend cruise around a barnyard, is available. It is there's not a Twitter handle for Barnyard Cruise, so I think I need to go create that parody account right now, the Barnyard Cruise parody account. And just watch the followers just come roll in. We mentioned it briefly before we started, but a special shout out to all the patrons over at patreon.com/apathetic enthusiasm. Thank you to everyone that supports the show from Patreon. Of course, we are streaming live at twitch.tv/apathetic enthusiasm, where you can watch us, be part of the show, or catch video versions over at youtube.com/apathetic enthusiasm. Brandon, mm-hmm. It's a long weekend. You can always tell because we look unkempt. We have hairy faces.
Yeah. Before we started recording, I actually shaved up my neck. I shave all the time, and so I never have time to grow facial hair. I took vacation. I grew some facial hair. Yesterday for Father's Day, my father-in-law came over. My brother-in-law and then my other brother-in-law and their families. And my brother-in-law has a nice beard, right? Nice beard. And because I don't grow my facial hair out, I don't know how to trim it. I don't know how to keep it, how to groom it.
How to maintain it, how to clean it up.
Yeah. And so I'm like, as he's just talking, I'm looking at his profile and I'm like, Where does he cut the hairline? Is it shaping the jawline? Okay. And then I noticed my father-in-law's beard. Like, oh, his is a little bit further down. Huh. What's the idea behind going a little bit further down versus going higher? Huh.
I think it hides more of your neck.
Oh.
Or like, especially if you have like a double chin situation going on, mm-hmm. You can really kind of control where the, I don't know, apex of your chin is, based on where you trim that beard.
Do you do like the
I make myself look like a frog?
Yeah, D'Onofrio. Do you do the D'Onofrio from Men in Black, where you like you try to see where your double, triple, quadruple chin is?
Need some sugar water.
And then do you shave along that line that? Like one of those chin lines?
I don't know what else he says. I don't think he says sugar water. It's weird. It's like wearing an Eggers suit. No, I don't. I just kind of shave up until I can't, like looking at it straight on to where I can't see hair anymore coming down. Like, so,
oh, okay.
Like, and then I follow like the lower line of the jawline and
okay.
Just kind of.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it looks good on you. It looks good on you.
Yeah. Just a little bit longer. And then, I mean, so here's the deal. I've been threatening my wife all weekend.
With a mustache?
We went and saw Top Gun.
Oh. Right?
So Top Gun, of course, 2022's resurgence of the solo stash. The mustache on its own is just rising in popularity along with the sales of aviator sunglasses.
Is it?
But I have a tendency to look like a child predator. when I have just a mustache. But as a bit, I don't know. There's a part of me that wants to shave the rest of my face and just leave the mustache and be like, eh?
You should. Eh? You should. Just for the rest of the month, at least. June is almost over. Just for the rest of the month, as a bit older.
I don't know. It just looked so good in that movie. I had to give it a shot.
You know, in the Air Force, the mustache regulation had it to where it had to stop at the corners of your mouth and it had to be like,
this is correct.
It had to stop at the corners of your mouth. Couldn't go any further. It can't hang below your top lip. And it made for some very stupid looking mustaches through the years.
Absolutely.
The Space Force has changed the reg to where like it can't go more than like a quarter inch out, but it can go past the lip line. So it can go a little bit further, but it just can't go below the lip. So it can go out further, but it can't go down.
So you can handlebar it?
I can't handlebar.
If you're going to space, you can handlebars?
I think so. So because I took some time off and I've got some facial hair, I might keep the stash and see
the Stash Bros 2022. We're making a pact. All right. Well, seeing as I already started talking about it, we mentioned it in the intro. I went and saw a movie this week. Brandon also went and saw a movie. The movie that I went and saw, of course, was Top Gun Maverick. This is the long awaited sequel from Tom Cruise's very early film, Top Gun. Everybody knows what Top Gun Maverick is because everybody's seen it. It's been out for weeks and everybody's seen this film. I do find it interesting that this was a movie, before we talk about the movie itself, that was slated to come out in like 2020 originally, I think, right?
Yeah, I think. That's when it was supposed to come out originally. But they stopped at the lip.
they stopped at the lip.
Stopped at the lip. I think like reshoots and maybe some COVID happenings and all that type of stuff.
I think a huge part of it was because of the action nature of the film, and they really, you know, they're flying these F-18s around and all this stuff. They really wanted it to be experienced by fans in a theater. Mm. And with, you know, the beginning of coronavirus pandemic and all these things, theaters were shut down. It took years for people to start going to them regularly around the country and around the world. And so I think they continued to delay and hold off on releasing this film until they felt like people could really experience it comfortably and safely in a movie theater.
They still can't, but it's still in theaters and people are still going.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I will say that oddly enough, weeks after its release, on a random like Thursday night, the theaters were still packed at my favorite movie theater, the one that had like the reclining seats and they served beer like at your seat.
Yeah.
I was like, oh yeah, like that's become the theater. That's the only one we go to. And yeah, showings were packed. So we ended up having to go to the AMC nearby, and even that theater filled up pretty significantly. Anyway, yeah, Top Gun. It's great. You've seen it. I don't need to review the film for you because everybody has seen it, right?
Everybody has seen it. Everybody knows the plot of it, where we know that Iceman and Goose, they fight to the death. And then
it's in a boxing match, it takes a weird turn in the middle of the movie and stops being about naval aviators and starts becoming a gritty boxing film.
Yep.
Which I found a surprising writing choice, but it makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, it makes sense.
What was shocking to me was that Creed ends up winning the whole thing.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then he goes on to be a famous fighter pilot.
That's right.
In a weird, stunning twist mishmash. anyway, so I didn't see it. I've wanted to see it. And I still will see it. Travis, I'll have to ask this question.
Sure.
When was the last time you saw the original Top Gun? And how do you compare the two?
So I saw the original Top Gun probably about a month ago, but it was like running on like network television or something like that. Mm. Like, I think it complete with commercial interruptions and edits for content and things like that. But I was like, yeah, okay, this is original Top Gun. Yeah, you know, Buzz the Tower, yada, yada. Ambiguous love scenes, yada yada. Mm-hmm. Goose dies, yada yada.
What?
Okay.
Oh
sorry, spoilers from a movie that's as old as I am.
As old as time. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, you are old.
So yeah, I always had a fondness of the film, like in retrospect. I grew up in San Diego, right? So I grew up around a heavy like Navy population. I grew up going to air shows out at the naval base and seeing, you know, the Blue Angels and all sorts of demonstrations of you know, fighter aircraft and all kinds of cool stuff like that. Yeah. So
pew, pew.
We would walk by the bar downtown that they filmed the original bar scenes in Top Gun. Like, it's like has a big sign in front of it that says, you know, scenes from Top Gun filmed here or whatever, right? So in my head, I'm like, yeah, Top Gun, like classic movie. I mean, I think it's fine. Like, it holds up as like an action film, but like it's dated for sure, right? Mm-hmm. Not just in the technology of the aircraft, but like it's, you know, it's a 40-year-old movie almost at this point. So I think breathing new life into the film, breathing new life into the characters is like, that's a cool thing to do. Seeing where they've gone, what they've dealt with. Interesting. But I wasn't like, yes, the day this comes out, I need to see the new Top Gun movie, and I got to see it in theaters, and I got to have my popcorn ready, and I cannot wait. I just wasn't that excited about it. Mm. And then the social media buzz and the buzz around the office and the,
yeah,
and realistically, everybody that I heard from or talked to had nothing but good things to say about this movie. By and large. Right, that it was really fun, great action, da 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 da. Like the characters, like the story. Highly recommend. And the first few of those, I was like, okay, all right, maybe they have low standards. That's fine. but the more I heard, I was like, maybe this movie is really good. And Sheena kept hearing the same thing, and she like, everybody that she was following online was like, yes, we love this movie, we're seeing it 3 or 4 times, da, da, da. So finally we snuck away and went and saw it this last week, and I gotta say, it's good. It's a good movie. Like, okay, it's
good.
It's fun. It's fun popcorn movie to see, like in the theater, seeing, you know, when you get like the loud like theatrical audio, and
yeah.
You hear those jets flying around and everything. It's, yeah, the soundtrack doesn't sound like it's changed at all, though. So like it's
like it's got the Cisco Hold music still.
Yeah.
That theme is still there.
Yeah, and I don't know.
Top Gun thing.
It kind of, if I had to describe it, would say it feels a little bit like an 80s movie that they made in 2020, right? Like, it's it's got sort of the same level of like complexity. Like, oh, Maverick, you've been in the Navy long enough to be an admiral, but for some reason you're still a captain. Why is that? They just couldn't keep me on the ground, sir, or whatever. You know, like Maverick's still playing it loose,
and he's playing it cool. Yeah,
he's always pushing the limits, right? He's only stuck around this long because Iceman keeps bailing him out because they've somehow built this bond in the first movie that has lasted an additional 30 years in the Navy or something. So I don't know. It's really cool. A bunch of new talented actors that come in as the hotshot naval pilots, the graduates of the Top Gun Academy, the best of the best that Maverick has to now train to carry out a near impossible mission.
Oh, man.
And it's not just about the mission, but it's about the friends we make along the way. And I don't know. It's fun, and
the family that we feel bad about losing, and who hate us for it. Right? Right?
Sure. Yeah, there's a part of that. His mustache. If we want to get into the minorist of spoiler territory,
everybody knows Miles Teller.
Everybody's seen this movie. Miles Teller plays call sign Rooster. He plays Goose's son in the film, right? And there's animosity between Rooster and Maverick, right? Mm-hmm. They don't have that bond. And initially you think it's like, oh, it's because Goose died in the cockpit with Maverick and Rooster doesn't forgive him for his dad's death. But that's not the case. He's mad because when Rooster put in his package to join the Naval Academy, Maverick had his package pulled, right? Which set him back years because he had to go and join the Navy another way or something like that. But that is what he resents him for initially in the film. And
wow. Wow.
Yeah.
These friggin' kids, you know, just so entitled.
Jeez.
Gosh. Boys. Yeah. Well, that's cool. That's cool.
If you haven't seen Maverick, go see it in theaters. If you can, if it's safe to do so, if you feel comfortable doing that, and you have an opportunity, I do recommend seeing it in a theater. I had a great time. Is it a movie I would rewatch on a regular basis?
No.
No,
absolutely not.
But potentially, like I would watch it again, but not because I feel like I'm going to get anything different out of it. It's just one of those movies that's just kind of feel good throughout. And yeah, it's just kind of fun to watch.
Okay. Well, I don't have anything else on Top Gun other than, I mean, it's a movie.
Why did you not go see it?
I've heard nothing but good things. I was going to see it last week. There was a 9:30 showing and I was on vacation all week last week. And I thought to myself every morning, well, every night, I'm going to wake
every
up.
Every morning, there's a halo.
every night before I went to bed, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to wake up and go see Top Gun in the morning. And then every morning I woke up at like 5:30 and I played 3 hours of Diablo. And then
Paragon.
I'm like, I guess
500.
Guess I'm not going to see Top Gun again. And I probably won't see it at this point in time until it's on TV. But maybe things will change. We will see, certainly.
Yeah, I think Tom Cruise said he's never going to release this for home viewing. It's only going to be available in theaters ever.
I believe it. Well, maybe when he dies.
I don't believe that.
Maybe when he dies. And I believe it. I certainly. When he dies, I'll get it on Blu-ray 4K with the Days of Thunder 2, like as like a combo yeah, pack.
There you go.
Days of Thunder 2. Why was there never a sequel to Days of Thunder, you know?
They haven't passed the 3-decade limit before they can make the hey, you know what?
Saw
a trailer for when I went to see Top Gun, along with like 80 other movies, because AMC plays like a half hour of trailers before their film. Mission Impossible. What is this film coming out?
It's not. I don't know. Okay. Not Ghost Protocol.
So Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning.
Oh,
part one.
Holy shit.
So just so we're clear, because when they were running the trailer, I was like, that's the guy from like the original Mission Impossible movie. Oh wait. And then that's Tom Cruise. And that's
Bing
Becky
Rames?
Carter or whatever her name is.
Rebecca Ferguson?
No, Kathleen Carter.
Haley Atwell?
Yeah. And I was like, is this... This smells like a Mission Impossible movie. Is this a Mission Impossible movie? And I think I said out loud to Sheena, I was like, they still making these? Because I remember loving the original Mission Impossible, like, back in what? the '90s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And 95,
96, I think.
So I was like, they're still making Mission Impossible movies? How many even are there? And then the title goes up on the screen and it's like Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part One. And I laughed out loud. Are you kidding me? This is a multi-part film that like I don't even I'm going to Google how many Mission Impossible movies
I think there's six. I think this will be the seventh. Or this will be the sixth and then the seventh.
Okay, so there are six out.
Yeah.
Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 will be out in 2023.
Okay.
And then the untitled Mission Impossible 8, which is probably just going to be Dead Reckoning Part 2.
Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 2. Part one.
Like, I'm not ashamed to admit it. I'm sure I've said this before on the podcast.
I'm sure.
Especially in my younger days, I was really into heist films. Mm-hmm. I dug them. I thought they were cool.
No shame.
I thought that The Italian Job, I really liked that movie. What's one with Ed Norton?
Money? Greed?
I don't know. Back in the day, I liked Mission Impossible. Kind of falls into that genre. I liked it. I think I've seen maybe three of the six Mission Impossible movies that have been released. Maybe.
I saw the first one is my favorite still.
Hands down.
The second one was like a John Woo directed it, and it turned into... I really disliked that one when that came out, because it went from like this very like spy thriller with heist aspects to it to then just like a pure action where he's like on a motorcycle and he's got long hair and like what the hell is this? And then John Woo's doves flying all over the place. And I didn't see the one with Philip Seymour Hoffman, which is the third one. I didn't see the one right after that.
Ghost Protocol.
But I did catch the fifth and sixth one. With the sixth one has Cavill in it, right? Cavill, Superman. And that's the one where he had a mustache. No. Well, whichever one, he had a mustache for one of them, and he's like in that. There's a scene where he's in the bathroom, and like he pumps his arms.
I feel like you're thinking of a James Bond movie.
No, man. No, that's Mission Impossible, bruh. Maybe it's James Bond. But I'm pretty sure that's Mission Impossible.
Oh, he's in Fallout. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But he cocks.
He's got a very nicely groomed
mustache.
Welcome to the mustache podcast. This is the mustache episode of Pod.
Bringing it back. Gotta stop at the lip.
You just got to embrace the stash. You just got to own it. You have to own it. is really where it, what it anyway, comes down to.
Anyway, I am okay with the Mission Impossible movies. Which guy is coming back for Dead Reckoning Part 1? Is that Ving Rhames?
I might have seen Ving Rhames.
Okay.
But the guy I'm thinking of, it's not John Voight.
No.
He
died.
It's Henry Zerny.
Is he the guy who was like the head of the IMF?
Yeah, he's I'm trying to figure out what his character's name is.
Like at the in Mission Impossible, the first Mission Impossible, he's the one who's like they meet at
Kittredge.
Kittredge. Yeah. They meet at the restaurant guy. And then Tom Cruise with the gum and then slams it against the fish tank. Yeah.
Oh,
a taut thriller.
I will say that for some reason in my awkward teenness, I became very interested in the like original Mission Impossible series that obviously the movies were based on, which got me really excited for when the movie came out. And man, I just ate up that movie. Yeah. I mean, obviously, like everybody, like it was a huge success, huge enough that they've made like 8 of them now.
some people did not like the original, or some people did not like the movie because they turned John Voight's character, who was the main character from the original Mission Impossible series, into the villain. So we're like, that's a turn. Why would you then take the main character from the series and then focus on Tom Cruise's, you know, character? I don't remember if Ethan Hunt was part of the
part of the whole thing with Mission Impossible early on was like the triple cross and double cross and like, you know, son of a bitch, I'm in, right? like we're gonna fall into Rick and Morty territory here with the heist episode, but like so much of it was about. Did you hear my dog?
No. I was checking to see if the
barking right.
Oh, I can't hear the dog, but I was seeing if the fan is on.
Okay. Anyway. It was all about like, oh, I'm playing for this team. That team's actually the bad guy. So now I'm gonna play for this side. And oh, but maybe they're not who they say they are either. And it kind of like you don't know who to trust. And then Tom Cruise does a crazy stunt and jumps out of a plane or something. So anyway, they're making 8 of them. So tune in in 2023 for
our Mission Impossible.
our Mission Impossible marathon, where we rewatch all 8 Mission Impossible movies
in a row.
Give you our thoughts.
live reactions.
That's the last thing I'll say about Top Gun, and then we'll move on to whatever movie you saw. Tom Cruise is insane, man. Like he's doing crazy stuff. His movies, like. He's doing crazy things. Like the fact that I think like all these actors learned how to actually like fly like jets. Mm-hmm. Like that's insane to me. Like, especially in a time that we live in with computer effects and stuff, but really like the things that they were able to do. And it really comes across on the screen. And so as insane as the dude is, and I do believe he is insane, it makes for a pretty interesting motion picture. So, yeah, if you want to go see it, go see it. If you don't want to see it, don't. But I think you have fun. You probably have fun.
Speaking of having fun
in the movies, what kind of fun did you get up to at the theater?
Yeah. Well, you saw a remake, well, a sequel to a movie that was made in the early 80s. I went to see a sequel for a movie that was made in the early 90s. The fifth sequel, ideally the final sequel, before they do a remake someday. That's right. We went and saw Jurassic World Dominion. This last Thursday, Friday, one of the day, doesn't matter. The showing was, we went to see it in IMAX at 7 o'clock at night, and it was basically pretty empty. I do have a real quick aside, which is, you go on the app and you look at which seats are available. And I went.
Sure.
And there was a lot
of. Are we talking Fandango or are we talking theater specific?
Theater specific. This is the region. I want to say Reginald. I don't know.
Reginald V Theater.
The Regal.
Cinematic experience for only the most royal of films. Please use our iOS application to receive 5% at the box office.
They give everyone a monocle when you walk into the Reginald.
We have truffle oil on our popcorn.
But it's not actual popcorn. It's actually gold. So on the Regal app, all these seats available. And there were, in the middle area, there was maybe about 6 out of 15 seats taken, right? And so what I did was, okay, I want to be in that middle row. I'm okay with being closer to the edge of the aisle, but not too close. So there was 3 seats before the edge of the aisle, then me, my wife, and my son, and then there were 2 seats in between me and the other people, right? And I quit. Cool. And then the entire theater is like, not the entire theater. There's people had seats, but basically there's a lot of extra seats around, like an equal amount on the other side of these people, right? So we get to the theater, we sit in our chairs, and then sure enough, 2 people come and they sit in that those 2 seats
right in your lap,
right in my lap, right next to us, like, and then the movie's. Because the trailers, the movie starts, and there's still so much extra space available in the theater. So, Travis, is it okay to then get up and migrate all of us over 3 seats so that we're on the aisle and have that extra gap if there's no one around? What are your thoughts on that?
At what point is this move taking place?
It's after the trailers, before the movie starts.
I think you can do it with, I mean, it's situational, obviously. We're talking Thursday night mm-hmm. on what was, I think, the first week of this movie being out.
No, this is like the second or third week.
Okay. All right. Seeing as it wasn't a super popular movie, I think you're okay to do it at that time. If we're talking like opening weekend.
Oh yeah, no.
Yeah, that's a non-starter. And
opening weekend will be packed anyway. And so I would expect on opening night, opening weekend to go into the theater and not have any space to myself.
Sure.
And I would expect to go into the app and be like, are there even 3 seats available? Oh, they're at the front. I'm not going, right? Sure. This was not one of those showings. This was if there were 50 seats available, 50 seats in this whole theater, there was maybe 15 people total in the theater, and 2 of those people sat right next to me. So anyway, saw Jurassic World Dominion. Before we went to see it, we needed to catch up because Chelsea didn't remember, or she never saw Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. And so we watched that the day before. Then we went in to see Jurassic World Dominion, so she can get caught up on the spoilery stuff, which involves a clone of a person,
Chris Pratt adopting a velociraptor as a child or yeah. something.
Blue, yeah. The velociraptor. And so this film is. It's got the people from Jurassic World, so Chris Pratt, Bryce Dallas Howard, and then it has the folks from the original Jurassic Park, Sam Neill, Laura Dern, and Jeff Goldblum. And so this is, hey, let's finish off the series, one big last hurrah, and that's what Jurassic World Dominion is. And the plot of this film is as such, Travis. Dinosaurs exist.
Dinosaurs and they escape.
There's an evil corporation. People are trying to stop the evil corporation. People get eaten by dinosaurs. People run from dinosaurs. However, the main thing here is that there's giant locusts, which kickstart the entire adventure. And you think I'm making that up. I'm not making that up.
I kind of did think you were making that
giant,
up.
Giant locusts are part of what kickstart all of the plot into effect. Basically, here's what happens. Giant locusts are like in the middle of like the middle America, the grasslands, the farm, wheat, whatever. And they eat a bunch of food. Laura Dern goes out there as Ellie Sattler, and she's investigating, and she notices that a farm right next to this farm was untouched by these locusts. Well, it turns out that corn, that wheat was created by a company called Biosyn. And so now she's like,
GMOs.
Ooh, woo.
GMOs.
That takes her across Jeff Goldblum. She goes get Alan Grant. Boom. They're working at it. Meanwhile,
getting the band back together.
Meanwhile,
these two kids show up, right? They're on a tour because of their grandfather.
That's right. And then meanwhile, Bryce Dallas Howard and Chris Pratt, they're raising a clone baby. Blue the Raptor followed them randomly. But then they end up going and meeting whatever. It's basically the plot. And there's new dinosaurs, whatever. I was entertained. Here's the thing. I was entertained. I enjoyed it. I'm like, it's the same. I was entertained the same way I was entertained watching the Fantastic Four movies. Like, I'll watch it. I enjoy it. I shut my brain off and forget some of this stuff.
It's fine. It's fun. It's Green Lantern. Who doesn't like Green Lantern?
Yeah. I watch it. There's a few movies I won't watch, like House of the Dead by Ubol. Yeah. Don't watch that. That'll hurt your brain. Zombies. Don't watch Zombies. Anyway. Yeah, it was okay. That's it. There's dinosaurs.
I mean, that's a little upsetting for 2022. I gotta be honest. The original Jurassic Park movie back in 1993, little, 10-year-old Travis running around, going to watch some summer blockbusters, and Steven Spielberg captured my heart and my imagination that year, right? I think it was the first time in my life where I went and saw a movie like more than twice in a theater.
Oh.
Because I was just like, I loved the original Jurassic Park. I thought it was great. And you know, the rest of the movies haven't really lived up to the same level of hype. I the original Jurassic Park trilogy was fine. I have issues. I think a lot of fans have issues with parts of those movies. I felt like Jurassic World restarted the series in like a really positive way. I really thought like Jurassic World captured a lot of the essence of what made the original Jurassic Park movie click and was really entertaining. And then they seem to be like falling into some of the same patterns again as the series progresses. So I don't know. I would watch it. I don't think there's... I just looked up Jurassic Park movies. I was going to say I didn't think there were any I hadn't seen, but then there's this Battle at Big Rock, which was released in 2019, apparently direct to YouTube. It's a short film based on Jurassic World or something. I don't think it technically counts. It's an 8-minute short film, so okay. I don't think it technically counts.
I don't think it counts.
As a Jurassic Park
movie. Let's not count
movie.
It.
Yeah, we're gonna throw that one out. Otherwise... I think I've seen all the other dress.
What I'll say is the original trilogy, there's no story through line there, right? Like,
yeah, sure.
The Lost World had little to do with Jurassic Park, and then Jurassic Park 3 had little to do with Lost World or Jurassic Park the original. So when Jurassic World came out, what they try to do with Colin Trevorrow. I think that's his name. The director and the writer, they tried to keep like the story that built throughout the three movies. And there, I can see some of that. There's like with Bryce Dallas Howard's character, in the original Jurassic World, she's talking about like she doesn't want to, she doesn't want to have kids, and she's taking care of like her niece or her nephews, right? And like becoming this kind of like, she's growing up and she's becoming more motherly. And this latest one, like that, her that arc of hers comes to a head, right? Like she's finally that, she's taking that on that role and she's accepting it. So I'll say that about Jurassic World. But the way it went was, it felt kind of odd. I think they took some little bits and bytes of what Spielberg wanted to put into some of the Jurassic Park sequels originally, which is weaponized dinosaurs. I don't know if this is a joke, but the word on the street was that they were like dinosaurs outfitted with like guns and shit like that, to weaponize the dinosaurs. Jurassic World took that and actually made it about weaponizing dinosaurs. And the thing is, I mean, just why do you need to weaponize dinosaurs when you have weapons?
Yeah. Yeah.
But whatever.
Let's take an already deadly creature that we can't control and strap weapons on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
What could go wrong?
What can?
I just came up with a game, Brandon.
Yeah.
It's a game I'm going to play with you.
Okay.
Jurassic Park as a series seems to be well regarded by a lot of fans. There are super fans across the world, but not everybody loves the films. So what I would like to do is play a game with you called name the tomato. So we're gonna take a journey,
okay,
in order through the six major Jurassic Park films, and I want you to take a guess on just a range, right? So we're talking within 10% percentage points here or so, and give me the current Rotten Tomatoes score for each Jurassic Park film. And we're going to start with the very first Jurassic Park, released in 1993. What is it scoring on Rotten Tomatoes?
I'm going to give it between a 90 and a 100.
Yeah, 92.
Oh, okay.
On Rotten Tomatoes.
Is that too wide a spread? Should it maybe like with five?
Yeah, you're good. Okay. I mean, I'm gonna say if you say a number and you're within 10, high or low, I think you're golden, right?
All right, okay.
So a few years pass and The Lost World Jurassic Park is released in 1997. How do you think the fans feel about this film?
Oh, so it's fans, not critics.
This is the Rotten Tomatoes score.
Okay. Okay. I will say 54.
It's 53. Ooh. Do you have this page up right now?
I don't. No.
Okay. He's nailing this right now. Okay. not to completely throw him off for the rest, but it's a new year. It's a new millennium, and Jurassic Park 3 is released in theaters in 2001. What is the Rotten Tomatoes score?
This one's harder for me because reading Jurassic Park the novel, Jurassic Park 3 felt like a greatest hits of what they couldn't use in the original Jurassic Park,
right?
And then like you know, we need a raft, we need a boat scene, let's put that here. Okay, pterodactyls. Suspiciously absent from the original Jurassic Park. Let's put them in. Okay. So there's a little bit of me that I know I'm going to get it wrong because I'm like, I like it a little bit more. Should I go higher or lower? I think people think Lost World is generally a worse movie, but I'll go with 61.
Ooh, just outside the threshold. It's 49 right
now. Damn, so I know I should have gotten
just
lower.
Just dipped a little bit lower than The Lost World. I think people are spent, right? It's not living up to that original over 90s expectations. So fast forward 14 years, and here comes Jurassic World, right? New cast, mm-hmm. new characters, you know, same sort of environment. What do you think people thought of Jurassic World?
I'm gonna go 76.
71.
Woo. All right.
You're 3 out of 4 right now, crushing this. So relatively good success, right? We got $1.6 billion at the box office. So with those kind of numbers, you can't not make another movie 3 years later. Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom. It's back. It's out in theaters.
Oh.
The fans, how do they feel about
clamoring for it or not clamoring for it? I'm going to say 57.
We're going to count it because 47. So you're up by 10, but we're going to count it. So that is 4 out of the 5 films.
Okay.
you've gotten within that 10-point threshold, which leaves us with Jurassic World. Currently still being rated out on Rotten Tomatoes, but early votes are in. What do you think its current score is over on the Tomometer at Rotten Tomatoes?
I'll say 35.
30%. Congratulations, everybody. Hey. Congratulations, Brandon. Well done. 5 out of 6.
I messed up with Jurassic Park 3. I let my own emotions taint it. Yeah, I knew I should have gone lower, not higher.
Yeah, very well done. Very well done. Yeah. A lot of these films sit right around that 50-50, you know, breakdown where some people like it, half the people don't like it. There's, you know, you can pick and choose. Are all those people the same that like it, or does it go back and forth? I don't know. Let us know. Send us an email, apatheticenthusiasm@gmail.com. All right. Any final thoughts on this film? I mean, would you recommend people go see it? If they're in that 50% that liked all the other Jurassic Park movies, they've probably already seen it. Or should they just like wait for it to stream on a platform somewhere?
I think that if you go in and you don't have high hopes, then
all right,
then you might enjoy it. Like I think if you have kids, your kids will enjoy it. That is the thing, right? Like there's a magic there that kids see dinosaurs. My nephew is like, I love it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that I think that's the thing is we're all
kids.
They
can see past bad acting, bad writing,
yeah,
contrived scenarios.
We were kids.
They're not following that stuff anywhere. They're like, cool dinosaur. Yeah.
We were kids when Jurassic Park came out.
Yeah.
And we grew up and we started seeing other things that instead of just the dinosaurs. So, sure. So anyway, Travis, I have a game for you similar. Real quick, guess that tomato meter for Top Gun.
Oh,
Top
geez.
Gun Maverick versus Top Gun, the original 1986. All right. So in 1986, Top Gun comes out. Tom Cruise, Kelly McGillis, Anthony Edwards.
Rotten, the internet doesn't exist.
internet doesn't exist. Rotten Tomatoes is a twinkle in some founder's eye. What do you think the tomato meter is for Top Gun 1986?
So much like how people had to go back and rate the original Jurassic Park with a sense of nostalgia, a sense of who they were when they first saw that movie, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to say people are also going to look at the original Top Gun through sort of fractured glasses, maybe a little bit. But I think people are also going to like be like, all right, there's some things that are dated in this. So I think people like it, but I don't know if it's like super well liked. So I'm going to put it at like a 75.
Okay. A 70, 75.
Yeah.
Now giving you the same leeway that you gave me, a 10-point spread, I'm going to tell you that you failed immensely.
Great.
58% is what it's
interesting. Truly, okay.
Is what it sits okay. on there.
And maybe this is because of the rose-colored glasses of the new film, and I haven't watched the original in a very long time, like all the way through.
Yeah.
I can totally see how that's an even split on a movie that that old. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So now, we fast forward all these years. We get through the
Mission Impossible.
We get through, we make our way into a pandemic, currently making our way out of it. This film, Top Gun Maverick, comes out 2022. Tom Cruise back, Miles Teller, Jennifer Connelly. What are the critics? What do the fans think of Top Gun Maverick?
I'm gonna put it at a 90.
You're gonna put it at 90. I think that's a safe bet to have it be a 90.
I think that's a conservative guess, honestly.
Yeah. 37%. Just kidding. No, the 7 is right. The 7 part of that. So it is at sitting at 97% there on Rotten Tomatoes.
My goodness.
Yeah.
My goodness.
It's
fun. It's a fun movie.
I heard somebody say that this movie makes Top Gun seem like a shitty prequel cash grab tie-in.
Okay. Like,
that's what people say about it. Like, this movie makes the original seem so much worse by comparison.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. And there's a lot of fan nostalgia type like callbacks in the new one, which I think Sheena streamed the original Top Gun like the day we went to go see it while I was working or something. so there are so many moments where she's like, oh, and I'm like, why are you so connected to this film? And I'm like, oh yeah, you watched it today, you watched the original. So every little thing that was a callback to the original, she picked up on. There are a lot.
The last thing I'll say about nostalgia is not about Top Gun or Jurassic Park or Jurassic World. It's about a game that just came out, Travis. And it's this game. There was an arcade game out there in the arcades way back in the day. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the arcade game. And then it came to the NES, and then there wasn't even two players, but whatever, the variations of this over the years. Well, this company comes out and they say, we're going to have a new TMNT arcade game called Shredder's Revenge. It's a beat-em-up, classic beat-em-up, six playable characters. Six playable characters at the same time online, yeah. Beat-em-up.
Yeah.
Four-player co-op on console at the same time. Oh, it just came out this last week. Travis, I forced you to play it a little bit. I think you played it with your kids.
Yeah.
I mean, what are your initial thoughts on the game, right?
So a little context here. In terms of like childhood obsessions, Turtles were my thing. Ninja Turtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as a kid. That was my jam. I didn't play with G.I. Joes. I didn't even collect like Star Wars figures really, but I collected Ninja Turtle figures. I watched the show. I watched the cartoon. I still tell people my first concert ever that I went to was a Ninja Turtles concert. Yeah. Turtles were my jam, right? And so definitely dropped my fair share of quarters into the original arcade game. Thought it was great, right? And so seeing this out available on Xbox Game Pass really just kind of brought back a flood of nostalgia to me, because these are my turtles, right? The Ninja Turtles have been around a long time. Generations have grown up with this. You know, in IP, right? But it's like Nickelodeon bought it and they released like reskinned new versions of the turtles. They have different character models and things like that. Obviously, they've changed a lot over time.
Michael Bay comes out, he does his thing with them, right?
Yeah. But these are my like squishy faced, big nose, right? Like round
straight
turtles.
Straight from the cartoons that we remember, right?
Yeah. And I even just like looking up about the game as we're getting ready for this podcast, the original voice actors from the 87 series came back to reprise their roles. Like you've got like, it's no kidding. Like
Yeah,
our Ninja Turtles from our childhood, right?
Rob Paulson. Rob Paulson doing a voice in there. Oh, where are my testicles?
The like graphic style, right? Like obviously this is on an Xbox, it's on modern consoles. You could really kind of polish it up, but they pixelate it a little bit more. It's got that art style that's a little bit dated, right? And it just works. It has the feel of that classic arcade game. And it's really easy to kind of hop in and out of it. I started playing it by myself for a couple of levels. My son comes in the room. He's like, oh, what is this? I was like, hey, grab a controller. Let's try it out. Let's both play. I'm like, oh, shoot, I need to go do something else. He's like, oh, cool. Can I keep playing? I was like, yeah, go for it. He's playing for a while. He gets hooked. He played like the rest of the afternoon, which was great because then I could keep watching the progression in the game without having to sit there and play it the whole time. And I'm just like, oh, cool. It's this guy. Oh, it's so I don't know. I think it's really cool. I love the fact that they have like co-op online play so that if we want to jump in a game together, you and your kid, me and mine, we grab, you know, get a few groups together, then you really have that like arcade feel of like a bunch of characters on screen all moving through it. It seems like they probably progress the difficulty the more characters you have in there or something, maybe. Because I played to a level with my son and we did okay.
Yeah.
But like ended up losing at the end or something. And then he went and tried to play through it again on his own. And either like he got way better at beating the middle boss, like in that one turn, or I was holding him back, or they scaled the difficulty. Those are the three options. I'm not ruling out number two. It very much could be number two. But yeah, I don't know. I thoroughly enjoyed playing this game. I think it's great. And I don't know. I like it. What do you think?
I did play it on. I played it with my kid. I also played it online with Sizemore, our friend Aaron, and my son too. And we were all online playing. Like two people on my Xbox, one person in Idaho, one person in San Diego. And it was seamless. Like we were beating Rock City and Bebop and doing all that stuff. So that was really cool. That was one of the things that like I had been missing from beat 'em ups, because like beat 'em up, like Final Fight and Golden Axe and Streets of Rage, all of those games. Like me and my kid, we play those games. Like there's a like a SNK beat 'em up fighter pack that you can get for Xbox, and it's got like six different beat 'em up style games, and him and I like play through all of those. So having that same experience online has been something that has felt like has been missing, and so I'm really happy to see it here, because I would have liked to have that to have been out for the Scott Pilgrim game, which is a fantastic beat 'em up game. So anyways, that's an aside. As far as the Ninja Turtle nostalgia, you talk about having collected the figurines, like just playing
through action figures. Thank you.
Yeah. Sorry. Action figures, playing through this game every once in a while. Like there's so many cameos, there's so many collectibles, and like the bosses that you fight, like you'd find like a secret character in like a trash can or whatever. And I was like, I had that one. I had Genghis Frog.
Yeah, I think I still have one around here.
And I used to not know how to pronounce Genghis, so I was like Genghis. And then like I always called him Mecha Turtle, but whatever the robot turtle is, like I had him too. He was always so cool. The alligator with like the Cajun style.
Yeah.
Alligator.
Yeah.
I had all of those things. That's so cool to see, and like just bringing it all back.
All right. So here's the deal. We're going to level with the audience here. I know my mom listens to this podcast on occasion and, frankly, I'm putting you on blast, Ma. I, if you got this far in the episode, thank you for listening. I appreciate it. One of the still most traumatizing moments in my childhood was the day I discovered that my mom had sold my collection of Ninja Turtles to include the sewer and Technodrome playsets in some form of yard / garage sale. Those would be displayed in the Zoom window behind me somewhere, probably to this day. I had them, plus they'd probably be worth a thing or two.
Did you have Krang? Did you have a Krang?
So I didn't just have Krang. The full suit Krang,
yeah.
Where you could you had his little robotic, version, but then you could also stick him in the belly of the
yeah.
big suit.
Yeah, because he was had a little bipedal one, right?
Yeah, yeah. I still have that somewhere too.
Okay, all right. But then you had the full body.
It's on a shelf or something, but because I've gone since then to various cons and stuff and. Been like, oh, I remember this from my youth, and you're selling it for $3. Thank you very much. I will take it.
Thank you. Yeah. I had a Raphael that his shell opened up and you could store his size in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good stuff. That was the fixation for me as a kid was that began the unhealthy habit of collecting crap with that you see all around me. If you're on twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm or checking us out on YouTube, don't forget to mash that like button while you're here. that was it for me when I was young and absolutely loved them. This game, if you were a Turtles fan back in the 90s, do yourself a favor, get to your console, check this game out. It's a good time. It's definitely a good time.
And it's not just on Xbox. It is on PlayStation. It is on PC. It is on Switch. So do yourself a favor. Yeah. If you are a Turtle fan, I highly recommend it. I recommend it more than Jurassic World Dominion.
We need to figure out a way to stream stuff like that. Like you and I. Like that, I know that'd be a challenge because I don't think your Xbox is in the room you stream from.
It's not, but I could figure out a way, I'm sure. My other Xbox is over in that room. And so
that one? We're there?
That one over there.
Not the room I'm in, but that one.
I did find my Elgato. So if I just get a 500 foot HDMI cable, I could probably get it to work. No problem. Attenuation isn't a factor here.
Yeah. We'll figure all that out offline while we're not recording a podcast. But anyway, I think that's going to about do it for this episode, actually. For those of you listening, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for continuing to download this episode. We really, truly do appreciate it. If you liked any of those movies that we talked about or that game, if you played them, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Head over to at Apathusiast over on Twitter. Let us know what you think. Or you could write a review on this podcast if you're new here and just checking this out for the first time. Thank you for listening. And until next time.
You're Travis.
I'm Travis.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Travis.
And
he's Brandon.
And I'm
That's
Brandon.
It. That's the show.
At Barnyard Cruise on Twitter. Please, if you...
Spelled C-R-U-Z.
If you or somebody you love has been looking for me and you haven't been able to find me, it's at Barnyard Cruise. B-A-R-N-Y-A-R-D. Kind of like a junkyard or a jail yard or a front yard or a backyard. Did the Y-A-R-D, right? Like barn, as in you're on a farm, maybe you store some hay in there. Maybe you keep your horses out in the barn, barn plus yard. And then the C-R-E-Z cruise, like Penelope cruise, not like Tom, Penelope. So Penelope Barnyard Cruise. Thank you. And until next time, see you later.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Coriant.
Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.